CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 8th of November. It's raining outside if you're in Gauteng. But, I mean, if you're anywhere else, why would you give a shit about that? It's time for us to get stuck in this morning. We have Ryan, who is well known to you. He is in the studio in Johannesburg. And alongside him, or on the other side of the studio, is someone called Shane Gwenya, who is a popular South African radio personality and TV host. He's also a producer. And he used to host the early morning show, The Big Starter, on Kaya FM. And he's joining us this morning he's hanging out. He's like our co-host for the morning. So how are you doing, Shane? Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you too, Gareth. It's good to be here, I must say.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that it's actually raining outside. The weather's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love this. Weather. It's my favorite thing.
So, absolutely, man.
So tell us about you, dude, so we can we'll get started on that foot and like give us a little brief biography. Like when people ask you to tell us about yourself, which is the laziest the laziest question in the world. But I mean, tell us some stuff, because there may be people who are listening who don't know who you are.
Absolutely. I think the long and short of it is that, like you said, my background in terms of my career is radio. I've been at it for some time. Did a 10-year stint at Kai FM, but obviously started off like anyone else.
10 years,
at a community level.
When you're at a business or especially a radio station for 10 years, that's quite incredible, because we know nobody's careers in radio last very long. You know, they usually something happens. They get into an argument with management. They get fired, or they develop some interpersonal problem relationship with someone. No one lasts for 10 years in one place unless they keep their heads down, or they're really, really good at their job, or both. So, I mean,
absolutely.
So why did you eventually leave?
I had to eventually leave to pursue business. So I had to leave Johannesburg, and I went all the way to KZN to pursue some business interests that side.
Mm-hmm.
Managed to establish whatever it is that I was about, which I'm going to just maybe touch on a little bit.
Sure.
So I'm also an entrepreneur on top of that. So I've got my own baby diaper brand.
Oh, wow. Maybe
you've heard of it or seen it. Yeah.
What's it called?
Which is called Adorables.
Oh. I don't have children, so I wouldn't know. But but Ryan wears those sometimes to prevent himself from making a mess in the studio. So. That's your preferred brand, right, Ryan?
Yeah, no, always go local,
Go local. That's what time it is.
Very nice.
So I've got my own brand called Adorables.
Cool.
Above and beyond that, also a people's person, community involvement. I also recently started my own ministry.
As a pastor, as a priest?
As a pastor. That one is called Hope Generation. So I wear a couple of hats. and I'm also into politics. So there's so many things that I'm into, but that's the long and short of it.
So
entrepreneur.
So in other words, there's no, in your mind, there's no separation of church and state. You can be both.
No, you can be.
All right. I wish I'd got into the church business. Yeah, that is a good business to be in, man. No taxes.
It really is.
No, it is. It's a great business. I'm not being sarcastic. when I was, starting out in media, and even for the first, I'd say 10, 12 years of my radio career, I was very anti-religious. I made a point of like telling everyone, even if they didn't ask, like CrossFit people do that. Like, I do CrossFit. And you're like, I didn't even ask. Who cares?
Yeah.
I used to tell people without them asking that I was an atheist. And I thought this was very clever and interesting. And of course it wasn't. And it just put people off. But I wish I could go back. And not that I've become some kind of like reborn Christian or anything. But if I could go back, I just wouldn't have pissed people off unnecessarily. And have been so convinced of my own superior arguments that I became just really unpleasant to be around for some people. And, looking back now, that's one of the regrets I have about my broadcasting business and career, is that I was just so negative about that stuff. And for some people, for the great majority of people on earth, religion is more than a set of facts that they adhere to as their explanation for things. It also is a source of hope, a source of encouragement, and a source of real happiness. And you can't disregard that, which is what you know, the old me did. It just kind of it threw that stuff aside because, it, you know, I looked at it and thought, well, this is just a rubbishy argument. It's fallacious. It's full of scientific and factual deficit. And I just threw it away, which was so dumb because, honestly, if I look at the world as it is at the moment, the religious people, whether they're Christians, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, or any other of the major religions of the world, are probably holding things together a whole lot better than the secular people are. You know, they're doing more good, if you ask me. And that doesn't mean that I've suddenly converted. Carl says, Gareth, I'm so happy to know you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and right before his birthday. No, don't get too excited. It just hasn't. So what? What I believe? Who cares what I believe? You know, sure. It's just so unimportant. And for years, it was really important for me to tell other people what I believed, which is just self-centered nonsense. But you grow up. Anyway, I'm impressed that you're doing all of those things at the same time. Sure. And you had time to come and talk to us this morning. You've got a family. You've got kids.
Yeah, I've got kids. So I've got two kids. Mm-hmm. I've got a boy and a girl.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So was married at some point in my life.
Hey,
nobody's a very young age.
I just admitted how I was wrong. You could admit that you were wrong, you know.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I think Ryan, if I'm not mistaken, probably knows my ex-wife. We met.
Oh, wow.
10 years ago. Yeah, 10 years ago. Or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I've walked down that path before.
Okay.
So that's where I'm at right now.
So, all right, besides the family and the businesses and everything else, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun?
Do you scroll mindlessly through Instagram like so many people do? Is that considered fun? I mean, do you have some crazy hobby? Like, I remember, you know, a certain minister used to love fly fishing. And I always thought that was such a strange hobby. First of all, because it's expensive to do. And second of all, it's not something that a lot of people do. It's quite a kind of niche thing. I mean, I've got lots of hobbies. I do chemistry and I draw floor plans and, you know, music's obviously a big part of that too. But yeah. What do you love to do?
Can I be honest with you? You know, this is a question that I actually asked myself, a few weeks ago, actually.
If you had 100 million rand in the bank and you didn't have to work, but you know, let's say you're the kind of person who probably would continue working anyway. What would you do, though, with the majority of your time if it wasn't about earning money?
I'll travel. I'll definitely travel. Mm. I think for me, it's just seeing the world. I think that one needs to travel the world and see what's out there. So I think for me, I'll definitely do a lot of traveling if I didn't have to work. I'll go to a lot of historical sites.
Yep. Oh, you like that,
and
huh?
I like to educate myself.
I'm so into that. Yeah. You and I will get along very well. Ryan, what would you do?
Gareth,
if you had 100 million rand, what would you do? What did you want to say?
I would open. Oh, I was going to say, Gareth just came back from Istanbul.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
About, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Really enjoyed it that he spent a week there.
Yeah, just looking at old historical sites, precisely. What would you do, Ryan, 100 million rand?
Oh, I'd open up a record label, I think, a studio, and just get musicians in and just record music. That's all I would do.
All day, every day.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could still do that. There's just no money in it, so you'd have to have money beforehand.
So that's where the 100 million comes in.
Yeah. You'd finance the studio.
Comes in very handy.
Exactly.
And you'd end up producing music for a whole bunch of people who'd also never sell music. So it's such a tough thing, you know. I love music, but people often think I'm in the music business because of things like Idols and everything, right? I mean, you know, if you've been on music radio. And you've done a TV show that's about music, effectively. People immediately assume, well, you can help them with their music career. So I still get emails from people I've never heard of and from people I might have heard of, I don't know. And they're like, can you help me? Can you get this music in front of a record company? I'm like, well, the record companies have no money, so I don't know what you want to talk to them about. Because that's true. I mean, they're just not what they used to be. No one has those kinds of resources available anymore. The biggest stars going forward will be people who come up on YouTube or on TikTok or on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're probably sampling. They're probably, you know, borrowing from something else. They maybe write their own music. But those people are rare. And it's a funny thing. Like, I was talking to a bunch of people. Some of them were quite a lot younger than me, and some of them were quite a lot older than me. And they all said more or less the same thing, that they really don't think there's that much original stuff going on in music right now either, which is kind of scary. I don't know if you guys agree with me. But they say that, you know, a lot of really great sort of music has already been written. And
has already been, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
people are just recycling, basically.
Yeah, I hate that because it makes me a bit depressed about the future of music. But it may be right, you know.
But the question is, where's the future of music going? Are we going to get to a point where, I don't know, people are just going to, you know, you think that there is music out there to listen to, but if you really think about it, people are just taking what's already been done and trying to reinvent themselves. I want to mention names. There's a specific artist that I was listening to the other day, and I was like, what in the world are you doing?
No, go on, mention
And
names.
It's for the grams. It's for the likes, you know.
Mention
for the
names.
Likes, and people are not really taking their time to put in work into their craft, and I just think that they just want to put whatever out there. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it's going, but we're not making too much strides.
Okay, so a couple of questions here that have come in. We'll just deal with these because the people who listen to the show are a bunch of maniacs, as you know, Ryan, so...
Yeah.
Let's start with Yonder. Gareth, which Catholic priest touched you in your studio? Well, I mean, first of all, I haven't been to a Catholic church, so luckily I avoided that. But I haven't had any interactions. I haven't been interfered with by any priests, which is very good news. I mean, I wouldn't know what to do if that was the case. Obviously, a lot of people did. Vincent says, so this is going to be a clean show, Shane being a priest and all. No, probably not. He's got some pretty wild opinions about cancel culture we'll get to in a second. Ricky says, Gareth, you matured so much on this topic, you even speak about it as the opposite might also be true, contrary to your beliefs, which you clearly did not 10 years ago. Well, you know what? Sometimes you just have to accept that it's not that you've thought it through and you've got more sensible. It's just that you've got older and you don't get as... like upset. And go and read my latest blog. I've only published two this year, so I think they, you know, I've kind of been a bit lazy on that front. But it's also because I really have to think hard about the stuff that makes me angry. But 10 years ago, I was filled with fire about everything. Everything I had an opinion on. Everything was like, oh, I've got to have my say about this. I got to have my say about that. Whatever was in the news, I had an opinion on. I'm sure you were the same, Shane. But you reach a point where...
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you just reach a point where you're like, no, I don't really have an opinion on that. What, you know, whatever.
You just accept it. You're like, okay, it is what it is. Yeah. I think you just mentioned now, someone just asked if we're going to have a clean show because I'm a priest / And I don't think it's the case. I think it goes back to what you just said now. You said no because I've got a topic or we want to discuss cancel culture. And I think that's what it is. We are people who I think have been silenced as well. You can't really voice out your opinion. So sometimes you have to keep it inside, internal, and you keep it at home, but not beyond the four walls of your bedroom or whatever the case is. But I think it's good to have an opinion, but the question is, has things changed?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've still got opinions. I just choose not to voice all of them. I mean, you've got to pick your battles as well.
Sure.
Do I really want to sit for 3 hours arguing with somebody about, you know, something silly like whether or not, you know, democracy is the best form of government? Do I really? I don't. I don't. What's the reward at the end of that conversation? I mean, this is with a really good friend, and I've got two friends. One lives in. I've got more than two friends, but these are two friends that I have these conversations with. One of them lives in. In Dallas in Texas, the other one lives in Houston, in Vancouver, in Canada, and the three of us have wildly divergent views on everything. I mean, give me a topic, and I guarantee you, the three of us will have completely different takes on that topic. And they're two of the cleverest people I know, and we have this group on WhatsApp, and there's always something going on in the group. because of the time difference, often the two of them are having an argument about something that I wake up and I just see like, you know, 300 new messages. And it's it's not just stupid argument like you're an idiot, this is why. It's it's always backed up by something really interesting. There'll be charts and there'll be figures and there'll be facts and there'll be really good lines of argument. And it's really fun to be on there. I mean, I can choose when to participate, which is also cool, because who has the time to get into complicated arguments? They're also busy people. But it's nice that these two really good friends of mine and I can discuss any topic, and there's nothing that's off limits, you know. There's nothing that's sacred, and that makes it
uncensored.
Yeah, that makes it pretty cool. I mean, some of it is stuff that may end up on this show from time to time, but the way the three of us also, we're more than happy to get down and dirty and be really insulting with each other if we think the other one's stupid. I mean, there's nothing more entertaining for any one of us. We still, deep down inside, we're still like these 20-year-olds who love winning and taking each other down. So there's still some of that, but it's become a little bit more sensible.
Yeah.
A couple other people. Nico says, I'm struggling with the Christians and accepting them, slowly starting to respect them. As long as they don't try and preach and convert you, then I'm fine with them. Well, maybe they feel the same way about you. And that's what I've realized. Yonder says, this priest is a divorcee, so he's not clean. I think we're in for some surprise. that's all about you, Shane.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really interesting things. Carl also says, by the way, for Ryan, his record label with 100 million would be a good way to get rid of that money. That's also good.
That's a
good point. All right, so we've got a couple of things to get into. You brought up cancel culture, so let's get that off your chest right now. I mean, what's the story there? What do you have to say about it?
You've just touched on it actually slightly, in my opinion. The thing is, for me, cancel culture is a big thing that I think we are facing as a people, to say how far is too far and what is it that I'm permitted to say and what is it that I'm not permitted to say, because people are too sensitive, in my opinion. I come from the era where you could say whatever it is that was on your chest or whatever it is that was on your mind, because that was the truth. But now we've silenced people even if they are telling their own truth.
Well, they,
and for me,
sorry, they asked this question at, I think it was the Washington Post, did a big survey. They asked a bunch of people, you know, what do you think of topic X, which was, I think it was to do with teaching kids about transgender rights at primary school or whatever. And, you know, everybody, most people would just went quiet because it was in a room where everybody could see each other. So they all just went quiet. Nobody wanted to put their hands up and have an opinion on that. And one or two people did and said, yeah, I think it's completely wrong. And one or two people did and said, I think it's completely right. And then the questioner said to all of them, why didn't the rest of you put up your hands? Was it because you're very afraid and worried that you might be wrong and people will take that out on you? And that's exactly why people shut up. Now, how do you know you're free? And I mean, Shane, I love that you said you're from a generation and from a group of people in broadcasting who, you know, we were. In fact, if you didn't have an opinion, you just weren't interesting to listen to. No one wants to listen to somebody who just nods and accepts and lets everyone go with whatever crazy, wacky, stupid opinions they are, never challenges them. So you're right about that. But, you know, what is the... Who's this? When you say permit, it's also about who has the right to tell you what you can and can't say. And in my opinion, that's nobody. There is no one. Yeah. There's no authority I recognize to shut myself up, except for me. If I judiciously choose, as we discussed just a couple of minutes ago, not to have an argument or a fight with someone, then that's my decision. And I don't have to get into the reeds with somebody about something I don't care about that much. But to feel silenced means you are essentially oppressed. To agree that you're not going to say something because you're afraid of the outcome means you have a master. And if you have a master, that means you are a slave. And the moment you can't say what's on your mind or on your chest or anywhere else, you're a slave. And I don't, I don't recognize anything greater than freedom. So I would rather hear you say something that I completely disagree with, but accept and recognize that you're my equal, because you're also free to say what you think, no matter how outrageous I think it is. Then I look at you as an equal. But if you are afraid to say what you think, then I will look down on you as a slave, because you are too weak to stand up for yourself, and therefore I'm not particularly interested in your opinion anymore. Do you think that's unfair?
I think that's not fair. That's not unfair, rather. I think you put it nicely in terms of that's exactly what it is. I believe in freedom of speech. But the question is, I think maybe if I were to broaden the subject, maybe it's the platforms where we can express ourselves. Hence, I say that when you are at home, you're more likely to be yourself and say what's really on your mind. Hence, there are certain, and I'll use the race example.
Mm. Because people in this country are terrified to talk about race. And we never used to be, Shane. We used to joke about things all the time, and it made us
all the time.
Made us like each other more, you know?
Yeah. I grew up when I first went to a multiracial school. It was just when we had just come out of
Model C.
Model C. That's it. Yeah, Model
C. Me too. Ryan doesn't know what the hell we're talking about here. He's too young.
Not at all. And I think the one thing that we struggled with at the time when we were doing when the transition was happening was that obviously certain people found it very difficult to integrate with black and white and schools and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was this one young kid our age or so. And he was taught at home that when you see a black person, you see a monkey. And there was literally a picture of a monkey on the wall. And the father used to say, when you see that picture, this is what it is. And they'll refer to it as the K word, obviously.
Yeah.
But I remember interacting with that kid after school and he told me this is what happened what happens at home. And little did we know at that time that it was like some sort of a secret society kind of situation where the father used to groom the kids to believe the certain kind of way of thinking, but couldn't voice that out publicly because things are starting to change.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm going with this is the fact that when we are at the comfort of our homes, we tend to say things and we teach our children what we really want to say and what we really believe. It might not be a racial thing whatsoever.
Right.
But the moment we step out that door, we are silenced. We feel like maybe we cannot express the same views that we hold at home. So the question is, who are we really?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like you said, Gareth, freedom of speech is everything. If you're going to be, if you can't express yourself, then you are oppressed. But now here's the question. With all this media that we have access to, the new podcasts and this and that, why is it that we cannot express ourselves on that level and say what's on our mind and say what we really, really want to think and what we really, really believe? Well, why is it that I wouldn't say scared, but
the pressure, because of, I think, largely social media. And most especially
Twitter.
And really, you've got to remember in this country, there are maybe 4, maybe 5 million people on Twitter. That's a tiny minority. That's I think, the number of people who voted for the DA in the last election, right? So it's not by any means. Remember, only 12 million people voted for the ANC in the last elections. So, you know, we don't have the massive numbers of people on Twitter that they do in America. But that's part of why there's this pressure. Because there's always been pressure to conform. You know, human beings like to belong. And if you feel like you're being left out, most human beings will do whatever it takes to get back in. Because being left out of the tribe, now we're talking about evolutionary biology. If you were left out of the tribe, you were abandoned and you would die. There would be no one to look after you. You wouldn't be able to share in the food, the resources, the care and protection of the tribe. So humans are naturally, our default setting is to want to belong. And only now, for the first time probably in human history, is it acceptable to not belong. And there are only a few people who are comfortable enough to be able to say, I actually don't want to belong to this crowd, this crew. When you were talking about that guy who was such a racist, who'd been taught this racist stuff by his parents, it does sound like an abusive household. That's like, you know, when a kid is being being interfered with by somebody, but they can't say how they feel about it because they're terrified of losing their family or something. And this happens in a lot of situations. Now, I mean, obviously, whether or not this kid managed to turn things around, he clearly spoke to you and you guys had some kind of communication and you found out what was going on in his life because he felt comfortable talking to you. So he didn't think of you the way that his father wanted him to, which is a breakthrough of a kind. And there's so much of this. Today is election day in America, right? And there's so much of this shit going on at the moment where one side sees the other as bad people, and there's just no way that anyone from that side can say something and be treated as a human being. Your opinion has to be the same as mine, otherwise you are a bad person. And people can't. Part of the problem, I think, is that we don't look each other in the eye anymore. We don't see each other in person. Because if someone who is prepared to say, oh, Shane is a terrible person, oh, Gareth's a horrible person, Ryan is awful, the person who's prepared to say that is very seldom actually in the room looking you in the eye. Because they wouldn't say that to your face.
Never.
So it's like a fake bravery. And if you were in the same room as them, you'd probably find more things that you got along about, because again, that belonging thing is so strong, right? You'd find things that you'd like about each other. You'd find things that you could talk about. And if I think about how all of us, nobody's good enough and perfect enough to be able to always make the right decision and, you know, see through the disagreement to the person who's underneath. But we've got to try, and I think we've forgotten to do that because it's so easy on the internet to be anonymous and to say your say and to think that you're a big deal, you know, tweeting from the comfort of your home or whatever. But it's weak. And it's weak.
No, it's very weak. Very weak. And most of the time, I mean, it's under pseudo accounts anyway.
Sure.
So, yeah. So it is weak. But yeah, I think for me, it's having that bravery to be able to express how you really feel, what you're really thinking. And doesn't necessarily mean that people have to necessarily agree with you. But you're right when you say that people have a sense of wanting to belong. Mm-hmm. A great example of a guy that I really look up to in stand-up comedy, who I believe he really does speak his mind, is Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he says it like it is, as much as he uses comedy to do so, but he does that. And another guy that we can maybe look into right now, as far as him expressing how he really feels, whether you think he's nuts or not, that's up for interpretation, is Kanye. And we see what he's been posting.
Well, what do you think of that? I'm very curious about how people feel about Kanye, because I did try to listen to an interview with him the other day. Full disclosure, I lasted 5.5 minutes, and the interview was like an hour. I really couldn't. Now, I do accept, and I think I've discussed this on the show, so I'm not going to labor the point, but I accept that he must be some kind of genius. Maybe he's what you'd call an idiot savant. In other words, with most things, he's a bit of a moron, but there's some areas where he's a complete breakthrough, one-of-a-kind genius. And you can't deny that this man hasn't been tremendously successful. You can't deny that he doesn't have creative abilities that are beyond the reach of most people. My God, does he have an ego, and is he impossible to listen to? I can guarantee you that even if Kanye and I had been around each other for a long, long time, I would never get used to the way he talks about himself and about the world. And there's so much crap that you can just tell. Like, there are a bunch of Hollywood people who have just never been told that they're talking shit. There are a bunch of people in you know, celebrities that have never been, no one's ever been honest with them and said to them, actually, on this subject, you sound really stupid when you open your mouth. And you could get the feeling that that's what happened to Kanye somewhere along the way. And he's been surrounded by morons like the Kardashians, which dramatically drops your IQ no matter who you are. And I just feel like Kanye's really, really dumb and says really dumb things, but no one corrects him. And then when he does something truly brilliant, and he's proven himself in the marketplace by making products and by creating music that is really, you know, top draw stuff, there's this disconnect between those two Kanyes for me. And I can't listen to the guy. I mean, I couldn't have a conversation with him. I'd run out of the room screaming.
I was listening. Maybe we're talking about the same interview where he was interviewed by Piers Morgan.
I was listening to Lex Friedman. But what did you glean from the Piers Morgan interview?
First of all, let's talk about Piers Morgan before I talk about Kanye.
Yes.
I thought I was a Piers Morgan fan back in the day, to be frank with you.
So did I.
I really thought I was, especially when I was still on CNN. And right. Maybe I was not really paying attention.
Yeah.
But I've watched two Piers Morgan interviews of late, and one is Kanye West, and the other one, I think there's a guy called
Andrew Tate.
And I was so irritated by how Piers interviewing style. I mean, the guy will he doesn't give you a chance to freaking talk. And I'm thinking that, you know, he's really not neutral. I mean, I'm not saying don't poke the guy and freaking get whatever it is that you want to get out of the person, but I genuinely have a problem with the way Piers Morgan conducts his interviews, and it was like, okay, I can't listen to this anymore. This is just crazy. Because now you've got Kanye.
It's a Piers Morgan show. That's it.
Yeah, that's fine. But
I can't stand his interviews anymore.
No, it's crazy. So here you've got Piers Morgan and you've got Kanye, and they're busy, you know, at it. But what I got from that whole entire thing was that, like you said, Kanye is a bit of both. He is brilliant in terms of the arts, in terms of his creative side.
Mm.
But then there's another element to him where I think he believes in his own advertising.
Yes.
Where he's so sure that, you know, he's this genius, he's this brilliant, that every opinion or every outlook of life is the way. There's no other way. And I think he's surrounded by people who, I would say, don't call him out. People that are very close to him.
Right.
Who are very probably afraid and... you know, they would sing his praises even when they can see that this man is actually going down the road, down hills. There was an altercation recently on I think it was Instagram where Diddy called him out, and he was obviously back and forth with that, sharing those conversations and a whole lot of other guys that were close to him. So I think he's a borderline, I'm a genius when it comes to the creative arts, but I'm a genius, or I know it all when it comes to, let's say, politics and every other thing to do with pop culture,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's borderline. It's a borderline thing. And I think there's an element of, I've worked hard for this and I've made it this far. Therefore, everything else that I do has to be approved by the universe, because I'm Kanye, I'm Ye.
Right, you know? Like he's got some special connection to God that the rest of us don't have, you know? And he talks like that, which is part of the reason I find him so irritating. But, I mean, lately he's in trouble now because he's voiced a bunch of political opinions which really do go against what most of mainstream Hollywood wants you to say. I mean, they're all very, very pro-Democrat, and, you know, Kanye is much more a Republican, and he's been a vocal Trump supporter, which is like, you know, the stain of the devil for some people in America. The moment you voice any opinion that could make you seem like you're for Donald Trump, then you're out. You've got to be destroyed. And they will pull you down by whatever means possible. And they found this anti-Semitic angle, which is now being milked. And I mean, I've got Jewish friends who are saying to me, oh, isn't Kanye's anti-Semitism terrible? And I'm like, don't you guys see that this is obviously it's a huge problem that he says these things, but it was never a problem before he said he was a fan of the Republicans or Donald Trump. Now suddenly it's a big problem, and they, you know, they'll go and dig around and find more proof that he's actually anti-Semitic and a whole bunch of other things, because now it's convenient to bring Kanye down. There are people who are in the Democratic Party who say terribly anti-Semitic things and are actually members of Congress, and nobody cares about them. No one's upset about them. Anti-Semitism is not a big deal with them. And those are people who make laws in America. They're not just pop icons, pop culture icons. So I think Kanye doesn't realize that he's also being used now because he's had the temerity to share his opinion. Now he's a big problem. Simpiwe says, I honestly cannot stand Piers Morgan's interview style. This is our Simpiwe. He needs to learn to allow his guests to finish their thoughts and opinion before throwing in his two cents. Absolutely right. I mean, that's it. He is annoying, and I agree with both of you when you said that.
Extremely annoying. No. Extremely.
I just imagine being in Kanye's shoes where whenever you walk around, you someone's like walking paycheck. Like, you literally, everyone you hang out with is just trying to make money off of you one way or another. It must drive you crazy.
Well, how about the you know, anyone who's really rich or successful, you never know what people are after. You can't really guess, but you have to be extremely careful. You can't just accept anyone at face value because someone is after you for something, you know, whether it's to be associated with you, whether it's for money, whether it's for something else. And that's true for anybody who's made a little bit of money or success, even in a small community. You know, like you could be the richest person on your street, and then suddenly you got a whole lot of friends, but they're not really your friends.
overnight friends, like 20, 30 friends that are knocking at your door.
Absolutely. So watch out. So we all know what that's like. Anyway, I mean, we're not going to solve this, but I do think that the cancel culture thing is starting to turn around in a big way, and partly it's because a lot of people just realized, and this is a very easy realization to have, it's something I saw back in 2016 when they tried to cancel me and I had to take Mnet to court, and I decided, screw you, I don't care if you don't like me. I'm still going to say what I want to say, and you can't shut me down. And I think a lot of people are doing that. You realize that these people who operate in the cancel culture world, they don't really have any power. They're a bunch of powerless people who just make a huge amount of noise, but there's nothing that actually happens. And if you bow to them, if you bend the knee to these people, it's not going to improve for you. It's going to get worse because they smell blood. So never apologize. Never, ever let them in. And certainly don't let them think they've won. Fight harder.
Is this the – you said 2016. What happened in 2016? Was it when you had Dalim Pofu as your lawyer, your legal
– Yeah. That's when we took on – no, that's when we took on Mnet. They tried to – they tried to weasel out of a contract that we had. And I took them to court with Dalim Pofu and Eric Mabuza, and we fucked them up. And I will never let them forget that, and it felt good to win. And they had
I remember that.
They had to pay for like 15 lawyers and senior counsel, among them some of the best in the country, who lost and walked out of that courtroom with a tail between their legs. And we fucked them up. And then I left the show on my own terms, which is what you want to do.
Yeah.
Anyway. I remember. All right, so Kanye is an overgrown child, says Sanele, that misses his mom. Oh, he's got a really weird Freudian Oedipal connection to his mother. There's something very strange that happened there. He really went off the rails when his mom died. She was the only one who could take his crap and manage it, possibly. Kanye's lost his marbles, says Yonder. He just wants to do the most crazy things so he can get a reaction. This is why he comes across as some kind of genius. He's gone, and we should let him go down alone. Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, people are very straight up about the fact that he may have some kind of serious mental disorder. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it. You want to look at a couple of headlines for today? See what's going on in the news?
Yeah.
All right. So,
let's get into it.
The SIU has explained how Terry Petto has been implicated in fraud allegations. The actress, we all know who Terry Petto is, right? It was reported on Friday that the unit had obtained a high court preservation order to freeze 9 luxury properties, cars, and 2 restaurants valued at about 25 million rand belonging to various individuals. This is amazing. Apparently, it's fraud allegations relating to funding by the National Lotteries Commission. You've been working in media for a long time, Shane. 25 million... that's serious money. You don't get that from
That is.
And there are no actors in this country, even ones who've done some work overseas, who are sitting on 25 million rand, right?
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance at all. Now, I saw that story. she actually came out. She also released, she sent out a press statement saying that, no, these allegations are obviously false, and she's distancing herself away from them. But I saw that, and it was quite interesting to see how some of these celebrities, like you said, no actor in this country earns anything remotely close to that.
I just want to be clear about this because I don't have any inside info. I don't know anything about Terry Peto's finances or where she may have made her money or anything like that. It's none of my business.
Sure.
And I don't have any inside info. It's just that seems like a lot of money. And South African actors and actresses are not like Hollywood actors and actresses who are earning millions of dollars for every project. And even though she's been very successful, this has to do with the National Lotteries Commission in this country. So in other words, it's not even money that she would have earned as an actress internationally. Locally, there's no way you could earn that money in acting. None. No way.
No.
So I'm just looking at this from the outside, it doesn't immediately strike me that this makes sense. That's all. And if it is to do with the lottery, I mean, we know that lottery, I don't know where they pay the money to. There are lots of really good causes in this country, and I'm sure they fund some of them. But I support a charity called Headway, and they receive scant public funding for what they do, and they do really good work. So where is this lottery money going? Who are the beneficiaries of our lottery? Because you and I put money in there when we enter the stupid thing. They pay out once in a blue moon to one person. That means they're making way more than they're paying out. So where is this money going to? It's a good question.
And another thing I've always wanted to ask about the lottery is that do we actually even have proof that these winnings actually do take place? But I could be wrong. I don't know. Where is this money going to? What has been done about the lottery? I looked at the story in this way to say, okay, fine. She is a successful actress, without a doubt. I mean, she's done some really good international projects and so forth. And
we're all very proud of her in South Africa. So
we're extremely proud of her. I was checking out on Twitter. I mean, people were saying that she took that role in Tsotsi. It's very literally. She acted in Tsotsi. So,
yes, of course.
And now here she is implicated in this thing. And as much as we don't know yet whether it's true or not, it's allegations for now. But it stains her reputation and her persona at the moment to say that, okay, how did you even get involved to begin with this NGO? Because apparently she was supposed to have given the money to an NGO and the money came in and it went to the houses, the restaurants, the cars, and. But these are allegations. I'm not saying it's
facts. They are allegations. And I think there's so much, the minute SARS or the Special Investigations Unit gets involved, it's not as if they have to be brilliant investigators to figure this stuff out. Because a lot of these people who are stealing, again, I'm not saying this is the case with Terry Peto, but there are a lot of people who are stealing who have big tenders. They immediately go and buy a whole bunch of stuff and then show it off on Instagram. You don't have to be a brilliant detective to figure out who's stealing money in South Africa. You just have to go and look at their social media and you'll see immediately. Look at my Louis Vuitton bags. Look at my shoes. Look at my houses. Look at my car. And you're like, hold on a second, if you're SARS, because you can go into the system there. But according to this, you're earning 20 grand a month. How can you afford that, private jet? Where's that coming from?
As you're saying this, I'm actually thinking about three people that came to mind. Mm. One is Hamilton Ndlovu.
Mm-hmm.
The second guy is the guy that owned the trucks. What's his name? I forgot his name. I think Sam Holding. He also went on a Instagram posting thing with Tiwo Touch, and there we go. Touch was not involved in that.
He might as well have
when he did the whole Durban July thing. Involved in that convoy. Yeah.
Four pipes.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And then another international guy from Nigeria who is now arrested in the States is Hush Puppy. And all these guys have one thing in common. They all posted.
dumb.
Whatever. Yeah, it is.
It's dumb. It's dumb. And when someone's dumb enough to do that, then you know that they're dumb enough to not have made the money in a legitimate way. So
sure.
you can write them off. Anyway, I mean, we could go down this road. There's some other stuff we need to know about this morning. South African banks say that you should be suspicious if your boss's video suddenly freezes. Now, let me try and explain this away. You need to treat your boss with suspicion when they call a virtual meeting and then they have mysterious trouble with their video, especially if that boss starts issuing payment instructions. So apparently what banks are saying here is that previously criminals would either gain access to someone high up in a corporation's email or just spoof their address to make the email seem like it's coming from them and then issue payment instructions. So apparently a bunch of people have been caught out by this. You know, these criminals will get in and they'll email you from their boss's email account, say, "Oh no, I've got my video off, because I'm still at home today. Send me your payment details because I just want to pay you for that other thing that we did the other day." And then their video freezes. People have fallen for this. So the banks actually had to issue a warning to say, if this is what's going on, you know, don't fall for it. Ryan, you think this is stupid straight up, right?
Yeah. Look, my dad works for a bank, so I know all the tricks in the book. My dad is even involved in one of the courses for mm-hmm. his work, right? Mm-hmm. They sent out an email and they said, click this link for whatever reason. And as he clicked the link, it popped up and said, "Okay, you're attending a course. You should never click a link from a bank."
Oh my
ever.
God. Yeah, because.
And so my dad had to attend this course with, like, I don't know, 20 other people who also clicked it because they were like, "You should never do it." Which I thought was hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. So they clicked on the link and they went and attended the course.
Yes, because the whole thing is you're not supposed to click on a link. So the bank sent out this email with a link attached. And the people who clicked on it had a message popped up and said, "Okay, you got to attend a course about, you know, this type of fraud or whatever." And the people who didn't have to do anything because they didn't click the link.
Well,
so it was like a funny...
I mean, this is an interesting thing also, and a lot of people don't want to talk about this because we think of NGOs and we think of them as being good, you know, the good guys who are doing something good for society. But a lot of these NGOs, they say they're a charity, and then people obviously open up their pockets and they give these charities money. But there are no rules in these NGO world, these NGO organizations that say that, you know, if you get a rand, you can't spend 99 cents on paying the people in the NGO and only 1 cent on the actual charity. And this is happening a lot. So there's plenty of corruption and this disguised thievery happening in NGOs. And we've got a lot of NGOs in South Africa. So just because someone's from a non-government organization and they say they're a charity doesn't mean they're the good guys.
No, not at all, actually. That's how they funnel all this corruption and the money through these NGOs by pretending to have these organizations that are doing well for, mm-hmm. for the community, but they're actually making a lot of money from it.
Apparently, the University of Cape Town had some kind of graduation ceremony, and someone said that we need to make sure that our graduates are fit for purpose in the 21st century. A bottomless cash pit would not instill a winning mindset. Will money turn this around? So they're basically talking about whether or not we are actually creating not people who are fit for a job, but new kinds of people who think about how to create those jobs. And obviously, you know, academics often also, they're a bit like NGOs. The academics say, "Oh no, well, we're here to teach and to prepare people." Some of them are just the people who couldn't make it in the real world, so they go into academia because it's a safe place for them to have a standard salary, and they have the job security, and they're dealing with, you know, students, which is a lot easier than dealing with business people. So a lot of the people in academia are not sure what kind of people to churn out, and maybe they're the least well equipped to make entrepreneurs like you, Shane. I mean, what do you think of that?
I think at the end of the day, like you said, people will find a reason to, you know, run away from what they truly should be doing. And find a shortcut.
Choose a safe option.
Choose a safe option. Exactly.
And they say that the people who don't know how to do teach. And I mean, that's unfair because there are obviously really great teachers. We all know from our own experience one or two really great teachers, but they are in the minority. A lot of teachers, are actually quite useless people. I'm going to get huge amounts of shit from people on this, but a lot of teachers do what they're doing. They teach people because it gives them like a position in society. It gives them some status, even if it's among kids and students. But they don't really make a contribution to society. I'm obviously not including those people who are in research and development, you know, the people who are doing, you know, really interesting studies at university or teaching kids in a beautiful way at school. There are those people, obviously. But
it's more like being
I don't want to take the word of academics more seriously than I absolutely have to, because they've proven themselves to be especially politically one-sided and very often more interested in brainwashing young people than they are in opening their minds.
Yeah. It's like being a financial advisor and you can't manage your own finances, but
yeah,
you can teach other people about money. Yeah. And that's what it is.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Someone says here about the scammers. So Tracy says the latest scam is someone will call you from a legit seeming cell company number, tell you someone is trying to do a SIM swap or activate your number. They then send you an SMS with an OTP. And while they've got you on the phone, they ask for it. Don't, just don't. A friend's pensioner mom got scammed out of 50,000 Rand this way. It got refunded, but still. Yeah, don't give anyone.
This happened.
If someone asks for the PIN number that was sent to your phone, they're definitely a scammer.
Yeah.
This happened to me like 2 months ago. It happened to my sister, yeah.
Did you call her
on the phone. They said,
did she lose money?
They said they were from MTN. No. I got to the phone before she could do anything. She said, they want this OTP. And I said, I actually wish I grabbed the phone and spoke to them before I said what I said. But I said, don't give it to them. It's a scam.
Yeah.
And as I got a hold of the phone to talk to them,
They hung up.
And then I called them like a billion times afterwards. And then I called MTN and I said, hey, listen, this is what these people are doing. I have the number. Can you do anything about it? And they said, no, just don't give them the OTP. So I said, well, that's useless.
Wow. There's just way, way too many scammers. I mean, I get emails on a daily, I'm sure you do as well, Gareth, where people send you emails about a tender, this RFQ, this, we need you to supply that. Because they've got your details.
The Department of Agriculture is waiting for me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to submit a tender to provide like farm equipment. You know, if you actually believe that, I've got nothing to do with agriculture. If someone suddenly sent me an email, if it's too good to be true, it is just too good to be true, right? That's obvious.
Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Well, we're already at 7 o'clock. It feels like we just started the show, but that's because we're having a nice conversation. So Shane and Gwenya is with us this morning, and we're just talking some shit and having some fun. And you can join in the comments section. We would love to hear from you. You can also WhatsApp us. The WhatsApp line number is 071-783-6214. Still got lots of things to get into. And Ryan got involved in a Twitter war. You choose big targets, Ryan. He got into a twar with Chrissy Teigen, John Legend's wife. Yeah. And she is a nutcase. So I'm interested to hear how that went for you, Ryan. It probably didn't go very well. And we'll see what else is in the news. We've got lots of other things to get to. And a new episode of Blind History on the way. So stick around. CliffCentral.com, Tuesday morning. Hopefully you're off to a good start today. Stick around with us. We've got lots of things to keep you amused. CliffCentral.com.